We've seen the last four budgets cut aid. Over 23% of all government savings from spending has come from aid. That's starting with Tony Abbott and Joe Hockey's first budget. Aid is under 1% of the Australian budget, and over 20% of the savings have come from it. So this has been devastating and simply inexplicable when the World Risk Report just out named Vanuatu as the most vulnerable to risk country in the world, then went on to Tonga, Fiji, East Timor, PNG. Countries in our region are the most vulnerable. We know they're going to be hit with the cyclones and the climate-induced weather changes, and there's very little in the aid bucket now for that.
So, bearing in mind that you have campaigned long and hard on this issue for many years now, and there are many others like you in the aid sector, for example, we're hearing earlier in the program from Dr. Julia Newton-Howes at Care Australia. She described what the government has done as making the country look insular and selfish. But despite all the pressure you're bringing to bear, you're not cutting through at government level. Do you know why?
Yeah, look, the political problem was this. When the Senate blocked the measures in the first Abbott Hockey budget, a budget universally hated and rejected by Australians, the only area that they didn't need to put through the Senate was cutting aid. The Senate had no control over that. So they were able to use aid, this is Abbott and Hockey, as an ATM to actually literally withdraw spendings that they couldn't get through the Senate. So there was this structural problem that, and vulnerability aid had. The second thing is Australia had a very insular time. We literally saw ourselves turning inward, saying we're victims, our electricity prices could go up with a carbon tax, we're hurting, we're as badly off as Greece. And politicians really simply played to that we're victims, that relentless negativity, it's all about us. So that Aussie sense of, you know, we still are the third richest nation on earth, we are blessed, we can't let aid drop to 19th on the OECD table of developed nations who give. That's the way we've gone. When other nations have gone the other way, that insularity seemed to give a leave pass to government to do what is now the lowest aid ever in our history, and proving our insularity.
You talked about the fact that the Abbott Hockey budget, the question of aid was voted through when other aspects of that budget plainly never were. I mean, does that mean that there needs to be perhaps a restructuring of the way that overseas aid is treated by whichever government is in office? And if so, how could that be done?
So it wasn't that it was voted through. It was that it didn't have to go to a vote in the Senate. That was the difference.
So effectively it went through on the nod, as it were.
It goes through by regulation. It's a regulatory. The government can just do it without actually having to ask the Senate. If it had gone to the Senate, like the rest of the Abbott Hockey budget, it wouldn't have gone through. Aid would have been saved. There would have been protests. The Nick Xenophons and Greens and Labor in the Senate would have certainly stopped those cuts. So my point was that aid was particularly vulnerable because a budget had been set aiming to get to 0.5%, 50 cents in a dollar. It was at 34 cents. And there didn't need to be any going through the Senate, and the Hockey Abbott government just by regulation cut it. Now it's at 22 cents in $100 of gross national income, 0.22, instead of going up to 0.5. And you're right, look, getting people to be concerned about this is tricky. There's always this sense, as much as we say we want to be a good neighbour, that actually people who get aid don't vote. They're not really immediately our concern. And to be honest, this is true right around the world, even in Britain, where aid is now at 70 cents in $100 and it's legislated under a Conservative Prime Minister. The public there say, oh, no, cut aid. Spend it on ourselves. It takes political leadership and bipartisanship to say we're in a global world. hurting those who are the poorest is actually not just morally wrong, but it's dumb. Because in this global world of a waterbed, you press down in one place, the problem comes up somewhere else. We have to deal with climate change. We have to deal with poverty, or it's going to be our problem.
One area where the government has found some extra money is for both Vanuatu and Fiji as they continue to recover from the two cyclones, of course, that hit in Vanuatu last year and Fiji just a couple of months ago. I mean, is that in some way perhaps covering up the true picture of Australia's overseas aid strategy? We're there when the emergencies strike, but maybe we're gradually walking away from development overall.
Yeah, so the humanitarian aspect is a little bit easier in the sense that you set aside an amount and you don't have to draw on it unless there's a cyclone or something happening. What it hides is that amount is now in a much smaller pool. To actually recognise that we've cut all aid to Africa just to focus on our region, you would think there would be a great increase in aid to the Pacific, not just humanitarian, but development programs. In fact, in this budget, it's just stayed the same. So that cost to Africa and saying, oh, we're going to focus here, actually hasn't seen any greater commitment and focus here. And humanitarian really just veils that.
What sort of feedback do you get when you visit the various Pacific countries? I mean, do they raise this point? Is what we're saying here about, or what you're saying here about Australia and people in the aid sector, is it reflected in the Pacific countries, or do they just shrug their shoulders and get on with it?
Yeah, look, I think it varies from country to country, but certainly if you're constructing a budget in government in any Pacific country, you notice this. You know, Australia is the big bear in this part of the ocean, and when it actually helps, it is noticed in the budget. When it's, you know, largely in the Pacific, just maintaining the levels and its particular aid deals because of our immigration policy to a Cambodia, obviously to a PNG with Manus, you maintain it. The Pacific nations, I think, just would have a question mark and a puzzle. How come Australia is going in a different direction to the rest of the world in the development community in terms of giving?